Hey guys, how you doing? What's happening in Sharkland? This is Eric again, head of Shark School, with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. When you talk sharks, most likely, whatever is on everybody's mind is shark attacks. And the word attack actually is something I really would like to get going here. There's no such thing as a shark attack. An attack is, if you look up the Internet Encyclopedia definition, it's a conscious attempt to do harm. No shark, absolutely no shark that ever bites a person wants to hurt the person. So the scenario that a shark sees a person, I bite this person because I want to harm him, that does not exist. So you have to get away from this term shark attack. So what is it? Well, it's an incident, or you can even call it an accident. But it is not an attack. Sharks don't want to hurt us. If, of course, we always think sharks are the most dangerous animals in the oceans, and, you know, makes sense to call it an attack. But first of all, sharks are the most harmless predator on our planet, over 50 kilograms or about 100 pounds. That sounds weird, right? But if you look up how many bites end fatally with sharks, on any given year, you talk about 5 to 10. Incidents, we have about 60, 70, 80 incidents. An incident can be a white shark shows up, bumps into a board of a surfer, falls overboard in the water. That's basically an incident. Or a shark can grab you because it tries to figure out what we are, which are about 90% of all cases, a shark tries to figure out what you are. If a shark would have hands, chances are he would not use his jaws. So we would even have less incidents with sharks. So anyway, we have 60, 70, 80 incidents per year. And to compare it with other large animals, the incident rate is really, really nowhere. Would you think that last year or any given year, close to 3,000 people get killed by hippos? I mean, when have you seen, read the last headline, another person killed by a hippo? Well, you don't, because no one really associates, I mean, in our part of the world, any danger with hippos. But, you know, if you go with snakes, well, snakes were a little better understood, but would you believe 80 to 90,000 people got killed by snakes in any given year? No, you wouldn't. So if it comes down to sharks, everyone assumes, they're dangerous, they're big, they're whatever. Sharks are the most harmless top and super predators on our planet, considering their density. Okay, I mean, the number of sharks are still swimming around. And that's really, really important that we understand what really goes on when a shark bites. For what purpose does he bite? I just said 90% or so is exploration. It can also be stress, competition, maybe play behavior. There are quite a few motivations, but for one thing, they don't bite us because they are hungry. Oh, so sometimes you hear, don't go and swim in the evening hours. This is when sharks hunt. Well, sharks may hunt in the evening hours, but a shark eats whenever he has a chance. That some species eat in crepuscular times, like dusk, dawn. That's different reasons. So this hunger thing is really not out there. But, you know, there's the other fun part when you talk incidents. We always say, well, white sharks are the most dangerous sharks, or bull sharks, or tiger sharks. Well, it's kind of generalization that you make. This is like, you know, I'm originally from Switzerland. So if you would say a guy from Zurich, which is in Switzerland, he is a burglar, then you would summarize, say, all Swiss people are burglars. Well, everybody goes to Switzerland and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I can't say that. With sharks, the same thing. Yeah, you may have a white shark who bit a person or hit a person. You may have a bull shark. But you cannot label all the bull sharks then dangerous. It's just not the way it works. So we have roughly about 500 shark species, give or take. Out of these 500 shark species, we have about 30 species where some of their members have been involved with humans. out of these 30 species, you can reduce it about 12 species, as members of about 12 different species cause the majority of bites. And you can reduce that even more to 6 or 7, which make up 99% of all incidents. Yes, you will find white sharks, bull sharks, tiger sharks, but at the same token, you also find blacktip sharks. That's one of my favorite species, the blacktip shark. Some people call it like pelagic blacktip, oceanic blacktip. It's a different called, it's Cacharhinus limbatus. Limbatus, nice name, I like that. But this is a little guy. We're talking about roughly about 2 meters, not longer than that, about 6 feet, something like that. But a little shark with, of course, way too much attitude. I had a little Yorkshire Terrier mix, and same thing, you know, little guy, but a lot of attitude. So, most of the time, if you would really go after headlines, you would actually have a headline with a very small shark, which does not really ring true. That doesn't really sound nice, you know, 5 footer, 1.5 meter shark bit the person. That doesn't really sound good. So, most of the time, it is the media who, of course, blows up the incident out of proportion, because the majority of bites are superficial. And I really mean superficial. Sometimes, you know, I mean, yes, we all have been bitten by sharks. So what did we use? Duct tape, gorilla tape. Yeah, we were back in the water in no time. So the media creates these monsters to increase ratings. You know, it's I understand that, but should we really allow that we create monsters? I don't think so. I think there should be a law against that. The animals that can't defend themselves should be portrayed in the most natural and correct manner there is. And, you know, if you talk sharks, it is the most misunderstood creature on this planet. And there's something else. Mainly, let's say Florida is an area where we have quite a few bites on a yearly basis. Mainly in the area it's called Volusia County. Nothing really major with bites, you know, superficial bites. I call them tattoo bites. But the nickname for one area there is Shark Attack Capital of the World. Stupid name. I don't know who came up with it. It's really stupid. But, you know, just for the heck of it, would you believe that there's an area in South Carolina where the incident rate is 8 times higher than in the World Shark Attack Center capital? No, you wouldn't, right? So it's this whole name-giving where bites normally happen the most is really kind of not true, nicely put. But if you go to Florida, you know, and you want to go after the species who bite people there, we don't really have the white sharks, the tigers, sometimes a bull, but what you would find there are the little guys. Again, limbatus, you know, blacktip shark, or spinner shark, silky shark. And these are the small guys who would bite. And why don't we really know that? Or why don't we really put it out there? Fact is, most of the time, these bites were not really analyzed. Yeah, 60, 70, 80 bites per year. But you really believe that we went out there and really analyzed every little wound? Not that we actually could, because some wounds look so similar with others from specimen of other species that you could not really differ. What I mean, for example, if you use like a blacktip shark, again, my favorite blacktips, if you use a silky, and you use, like, say, a spinner, you look at these three jaws, and they look very, very similar. So how do you want to create a wound picture and compare it? Well, what I normally do is I just use clay. I use a mannequin, then put clay on, and then I use the jaw that I think size-wise would fit. And I try to create the wound. So I use it like I hit it with a fork, pull it over the clay, something like that, depending what kind of wound I have. And these three species, they look pretty the same. The outcome looks pretty the same. So this makes it really hard. So most of the time, how this works is, let's say you have a wound. The wound is kind of large. Well, it's like, okay, we're kind of large. species do we have out there? Well, tiger shark, well, bull shark, whatever. But most of the time, that's how it's done. You know, you assume. It's not that you really get down to the nitty-gritty. You assume. So there's a lot of things when it comes to shark is assumptions. But the same token with assumption is that we don't really know why an incident happened, right? Most of the time, we just want to know that it happened. It's a good headline. So I can point out some cases where people did really, really stupid things. So would you then read in the headline, person did something stupid and he got what he deserved? No, you wouldn't, right? So because you want to blame the shark. If you're really, really lucky, you may get 5 days, 10 days later, a little side note, page 5, page 6, where an expert was interviewed, what truly happened, and he explained it in more detail. That's if you're really, really lucky. But most of the time, this is not what we read on the news. We just read shark attack. Well, that's all we want to know. Again, hey, call it incident, okay? But it's not just the general media. It's the internet as well, which is full of erroneous information. I use the term erroneous, not stupid. It will be more accurate, okay? One of my favorites is called unprovoked shark attack. Unprovoked. What is unprovoked? Person may say, I didn't do anything. The shark just came and bit me. That does not happen. Okay, you did something, you just didn't know what you did. Sometimes people are not aware that they cause the actual attraction of the shark. For example, let's say there's a nursery around for sharks or whatever, where, you know, I have higher density than elsewhere, and you don't know that, and you jump in the water, you frolic, you splash around, and these arrhythmic sound patterns bring in a shark, the visibility may be a little low, and he grabbed you. You know, that is not unprovoked, it's provoked, but you have no clue. Sometimes you do have a clue. I mean, there are cases where people just pulled the tail of a nurse shark and got bitten. Hello? Well, that's really annoyingly. But then there's this very hard to define third party issue. Let's go Florida again. Whenever you go to a beach, or many beaches, what you have, of course, is a fishing pier. Nothing wrong with fishing piers. People fish. Everybody should do what they are allowed to. But of course, if you hook a fish, fish start to get stressed out. The fish releases stress hormones to warn other fish. It may be there's feces in the water now after fish, it releases scales, whatever. So all these substances and bodily fluids, whatever, they float down with the current. Chances are people swim down current of a fishing pier and the shark picks up the scent. So he may swim against this odor corridor because he'd think, well, that must be a stress fish up somewhere, and you're in the water there as well, and you splash around, you create arrhythmic sound patterns, and if you're unlucky, the sound patterns you create is similar to the stressed out fish that the shark has now a search image for. So we may really swim right past you, and yeah, if you're in bad luck, you know, you sound like a fish, you may smell like a fish, so he may does an exploratory bite. And that's what majority of all bites are. Exploratory. Exploration. Trying to figure out what we are. I would say 80 to 90% are exploration. Then, of course, you have the bites like self-defense. Well, yeah, I pulled the shark's tail, thus he did this or that. Competition, you may have target practice, play behavior. These are things I will go into in much more detail. We don't have the time in this episode, but we will go into that on a much, much deeper. So this is a third party. So every bite out there is provoked. Okay, everyone is provoked. But, you know, the internet, again, as I said, is full of erroneous information. I like that term, erroneous information. I'm sure you have heard that sharks bite in three ways. It's like bump and bite, hit and run, and sneak. First of all, whoever came up with that crap, I don't know, has never seen a shark. So first, that's what's really, really bothering me is hit and run and sneak. Hit and run. It's like, okay, I did something wrong. Damn, I really have to get away from it because someone will then punish me for it. I run away. Yeah. The same with sneak. A shark does not sneak up on us to bite because, yeah, he's up to no good. That's why he snuck up on the person. Sharks didn't do anything wrong when they bite us. And most of the time, I mean, a shark does not bite and takes off. Why should he? Why should he? He just grabbed us, see what we are. It's still an interesting scenario. They stick around. So whoever came up with these three ideas, I don't know. I don't know what was wrong to come up with three things. Sharks bite for many different reasons. They don't do anything wrong. They just try to figure out. They react to situations. So we should really, really change all these ideas why sharks bite. So these three class categories, forget that. Okay. Sharks bite for numerous reasons. They hurt us for numerous reasons on rare occasions, but no shark ever wants to harm us. Okay, so unfortunately, there's a lot of that stuff on the internet. A lot of pseudo experts try to educate people, but very, very often the person who tries to educate tries to justify its own fear. What do I mean with that? Well, I remember when Jaws came out, 1975. I loved that movie. What I didn't like was the attitude of people after they've seen Jaws. They really believed these sharks exist. Well, of course, I mean, how can you believe that this movie monster really exists? Well, at that time, there were some scientists. We're talking mid-70s. And the U.S. Navy actually had a panel created. It's a shark attack panel. And the panel's purpose was to figure out why sharks bite and come up with a repellent. Well, the U.S. Navy figured out pretty quick that these guys had no clue. This was a panel of six so-called shark experts. Well, none of these guys was a behaviorist. None of these guys really jumped in the water with sharks. And they came out with a comprehensive analysis. And in 1974, they published their understanding in a book called Shark Attack, A Program of Data Reduction and Analysis. Mind you, these were experts, quote-unquote experts. In my opinion, they really were not experts. They had no clue what goes on in a shark with regards to its behavior and by shark's bite. But in this book, in this scientific-oriented book, you could read a sentence like, or expressions like, it quickly responds with violently aggressive behavior, or use their razor-sharp teeth as weapons, aggressive behavior directed at the victim, repeated strikes, frenzied behavior. Oh yeah, that was some other good ones. Sharks had their victims in a helpless situation, irresistible for a hungry shark, struck violently without warning, essentially be skeletonized. That is a lot of BS. But, you know, the general public, what did they have? They had to turn to the experts back when, and this is what they read. So all these experts did was, look why sharks are dangerous, that's why we don't be jumping, you can read it here. And it's really pathetic. But unfortunately, this is what really launched in the slaughtering of sharks. Yes, it was Spielberg. Yes, it was Peter Benchley who started it. But overall, responsible for this thing, they were not. It were the scientists back when who could not really present sharks the way they truly are. And this is very important. We have to present the sharks how they truly are, because the slaughtering of sharks, 70, 100 millions each year, is still going on. And part of it is because we didn't care. A part is we still don't care that we have to protect these animals because we think, well, it's dangerous. So if there's no shark anymore, I can go back to the beach and have fun because there is no danger out there anymore. So it's of course simplified, but we really have to change sharks, the viewpoint, how do we see sharks? And of course that is part of Let's talk Shark. So, yeah, I want to close here. Again, we will get back into bites. We didn't get into motivations yet. I will go with that in a future episode. So, that's it for today. Tune in again. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun. Enjoy the moment. And remember, it is a privilege.